Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to border scenes to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazeez the Terrible. All rise for King Shazeez the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause the country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs.
mostly safe. Hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
So, I don't know how it got there, but there's this grocery cart on the very tip top of the highest mountain in the world. It's amazing. I don't know. It's just amazing. Suddenly, you're standing there, and you think to yourself, like, how am I going to get down off of this mountain? And so, what you do is you jump in that grocery cart, and you're riding down the side of this mountain. So I'm going to take you on a wild ride of epic proportions and get your mind moving for today's show. Because our world is a lie. Big question mark. Now what? Big question mark. So I don't know how this doggone grocery cart got up on top of this mountain, but you're there. The grocery cart's there. It looks like a good idea. So you jump in that grocery cart. And you start riding down, and you're hanging on for dear life. You know, mountains are not necessarily the smoothest path out there in existence, but nonetheless, you're hanging on for dear life. And so you're kind of bouncing down this thing, you know, and you're trying to steer this grocery cart the best you possibly can. And, you know, the bugs are flying in your teeth, and, you know, you're kicking up dust and gravel, and there's an avalanche coming down behind you. So you're just hanging on for dear life, man. I don't know. It just seems like days and days you're just tumbling down this doggone, side of the mountain, kind of sideways at one point, on two wheels at another point, and then you're like on the nose end of it, and you're about to fall over, and somehow or another you get your grip again, you pull up on the front of that grocery cart, and you're still hanging on for dear life. Now you come down the side of the mountain right in between a whole bunch of trees. I mean, there's a ridiculous amount of trees, too many trees to even count. But there's trees, there's bushes, there's thorns, and all kinds of other stuff in the briar patch, and you're flying down on through all this. How you've kept your momentum through everything that you've been through so far is just simply a miracle in itself, because you just came down the side of that mountain. Now you're going through the jungle. All right, so you leap over the creek and down past the river, and you're on the edge of the cliff, and here's a river on the side, and it's one little mistake and you're down in that next, alright? Somehow or another, you hang on. You're on two wheels. You're on one wheel, man. You're doing a wheelie now. Next thing you know, you hit the freeway. You're on the wrong side of the road. You got big trucks, small trucks, cars, and all kinds of crazy people on motorcycles and scooters, and they're flying at you. Right, you get going down this freeway, and you come up across the biggest, steepest hill you've ever seen in your life, and you start building up momentum again. Right, now you're flying down this big old steep hill, right, and you somehow or another manage to get on the right side of the road, but you're not going fast enough for the guy behind you, so he's honking his horn. He's screaming around you. They're giving you the bird on the way by, and then it's like you're going to get hit from the front, you're going to get hit from the rear, and oh man, what a mess. So the next thing you know, you go blazing through town. Now you got the local sheriff. He's chasing you down. You can't be riding a grocery cart through town. Somebody might get hurt. Never mind what you've already been through. All right, then suddenly, next thing you know, you hit the curb. Bam, you fly, you're flipping, you land face first down into the biggest, nastiest mud puddle you ever seen in your life. Then you stub your toe and find out you just woke up. Welcome to the Knights of the Round Table, folks. Our world's a lie. It's a big lie. And so now what? Now what are we going to do about it? Now that we know that the politicians are liars, the news media is liars, the doggone corporations, companies, and all the other things out there that you heard about. Heck, is Bigfoot the truth or is Bigfoot a lie? Is the moon real or is the moon fake? Is the earth flat or is it round? Is the space exist or does it not exist? Is there a doggone alien force out there, or is there not an alien force out there? What's in Area 51? Are you going to be one of the ones that try to bum rush it? Maybe, maybe not, but I don't know. But either way, we've been down the rabbit holes, we've been over the cliff, over the falls in a barrel, we've been everywhere. The excitement just never seems to end on this world. I mean, it's just in one sense of the thing, you might think, well, you know, at least you can't go anywhere without an adventure occurring on a regular basis. So now you gotta catch your breath. And you gotta sit back and try to figure out, alright, if everything they've been spewing out to us and teaching us all our lives has been nothing more than a lie, if everything I thought was the truth is not the truth, what do we do now? Where do we go to from here? So I'm not here by myself. Hi, Barbara. How's it going?
Ah, I'm trying to get Ooja. He wants to come on. Oh, no, that's Patty. Oh, my Skype is, yeah. All right.
So
I'm trying to get Ooja. He wants to join us. Okay, where am I? Yeah, everything's a lie. I have this, hey everybody, sorry to start out that way. I posted up this deception, the word deception. Definition of deception, it's the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid, the act of deceiving. It's resorting to falsehood and deception. It's used deception to leak the classified information, the fact or condition of being deceived. The deception of the audience, something that deceives. It's a trick, fooled by a scam.
Yeah.
Clever deception, yeah. So
and
the
it's
whole
a trap.
Thing, it's a big trap. Yay. I see you. So, okay, yeah, that's, how do I do this now?
I don't know, so, but do you want to go on that ride down that mountain in the grocery cart?
Well, I don't think so. I don't know. I've been falling off cliffs all my life, hanging off of cliffs and by my fingernails and jumping through fire and getting hit with bombs and arrows slinged at me and demons attacking me and, oh yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Well, I can see it. I honestly see it. I mean, there's probably, if you go out there, Hollywood, they have one way of, just kind of taking you on a epic mind journey, so to speak. And, the news media, they do pretty much the same thing. Every day, without fail, you're bombarded with something. Doesn't matter what it is. Something's constantly stirring the pot. You know, and
well,
so,
who's the something? I mean, that's, you have to ask that question. Something. Well, something. What is it? Is it real? Is it fake? Is it a machine? Is it an AI? Who is it?
Well,
just saying.
If it's an AI, maybe sometime in like the way past or whatever, so far back we can't even think. But maybe this artificial intelligence, somebody bumped the side of the computer at one point, and now it's got some sort of mental disturbance that, you know, even though it's artificial intelligence, it's kind of, I'm trying to use a less politically correct word, but I can't find anything outside of the word retarded, you know?
Well, what if the, I'm just going to throw this out. Because we were saying, you know, everything seems to be fake, false, deceiving. What about if everything, all those that we believe in, wind up being an artificial intelligence?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But it has some sort of mental issue, or maybe it's one of those cases where, you know, there's different human conditions. One's like pathological. One's like, I can't even remember all of them.
Well,
what's the one where somebody, you know, thinks really highly of themselves and they can't stand any criticism or anything? What's that one there?
Narcissist?
Yeah, narcissist. It's a narcissist. It's a pathological liar. It's a joker, a crazy, and, you know, it's just messing with us, you know, constantly. just messing with us. It gets its humor out of torment in the human spirit.
Well, that's something not very nice.
Sounds like the devil, man.
It sounds like it. Something very evil.
Well, I wouldn't trust an artificial intelligence with the future of humanity, you know.
But, well, I think that's what the plan is for everybody to trust and to become that, you know.
Yeah, like first you get the chip.
Take the chip.
Then the chip ain't good enough. Then you got to have the brain chip, and then that ain't good enough.
Elon Musk has his whole setup ready to go, but I think we're getting implanted by what's in the air with all kinds of stuff. I mean, all these things sound pretty weird and out there, don't they?
Well, yeah, but I've seen enough science fiction movies to know that nanotechnology is probably not beyond the realms of possibility, and the fact that it usually doesn't go so well for the humans.
Well, nanotechnology is very real. I'm finding that out, and it's like something that, you know, something that I was kind of like verging into a little bit and kind of like ignoring, because it's who wants to go there, you know? I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. I'm finding myself going down rabbit holes recently that I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but somehow I'm being guided to go down that rabbit hole, and I've been down a lot of rabbit holes, as we've spoken about, along with my sister Patty, and we come up out of that rabbit hole shaking our heads and going holy mackerel stuff, you know, kind of like expletives that we can't really say on air. Well, not really, because I'm not like that. But, you know, you want to. And you're kind of like holy moly kind of thing. And then you have these experts, you know, and I've been looking at this sincere person who's disclosing certain things, and I guess that's the other thing. You have to discern who is speaking to you. You know, like, who is it that's telling you this information? Like, everybody gives us information. Everybody claims that they are, you know, the authority on this information, like the climate change or the earth, whatever you want to call it, global warming, climate change. There are these scientists, authoritarian scientists, who claim this, and then there's the other side, the other authoritarian scientists who claim that. You have to really use a lot of, I'm going to say, the, now what is it that when you receive something that is your, I guess I'm going to say your nature, your true nature, something about you that you were born with, and that's an instinct. So I'm going to use the word instinct. Your natural instinct or your truth meter, the wisdom within you, which helps you discern truth from lie. We have to use these tools today for sure, and I have to say that many don't have that tool, or let's say they've ignored it or denied it, so therefore it's not well used, so it gets rusty and old, and it doesn't function for you. So how can you discern truth from lie when you don't even have the tool, and that's been deliberate to basically eliminate that tool.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just what I'm saying.
One of the scary things to me about the whole deal is normally when you start building a basis for what you believe in, you have to have some sort of foundation for that basis, you know. So our parents taught us things that their parents taught them and so on down the line. Somewhere along the line, the education system got inside there and threw their little 2 cents worth in there. But, you know, if this goes back farther than we realize, you know, back several multiple generations or whatever, and it started off as a lie back then, where would you ever have a real foundation for what the actual truth is? You know, if you could go back all the way to, like, say, the birth certificate thing there, you know. You go back to when your parents basically signed you up for a birth certificate. What the heck was a birth certificate even for? I mean, to prove that you was alive. I mean, physically, I'm standing there, so I must be alive. So why do I need a piece of paper to show that? Unless that piece of paper was going to be used as something to basically put me in a file box, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Well, we know now what that is. I mean, you know, I mean, let's look at the prior to all these documents we needed, all these licenses, all these various proofs of our existence, right?
Yeah.
So, do you really exist? If you exist, you have to give us, sign this paper here. Then you exist, but you exist in our file now. Now we know who you are, what you are, what your date of birth is. We know everything about you. And by the way, get your DNA, find out who your ancestors are so that we have your DNA too.
Yeah. Well, there was a story quite some time back because of a clerical error that a guy was basically deemed to be dead. And he was standing there, and they wouldn't give him a driver's license because, according to them, it says that he was dead, and so he had to go find.
So they believed the document that said he was dead, but the man's standing there, right?
Yeah,
so you're not real.
How could I be dead if I'm standing right here in front of you? Well, now you got to go be able to prove your identification to say that you are who you say you are, so that you're not trying to take some dead man's identity.
Well, there's a lot of that going around.
Yeah.
taking people's identity. I'm just saying, I don't know. Hey, Steven. Steven just popped in.
Could you imagine that? Me standing right there in person, knowing who you are. You got your old documents. This is my driver's license with my picture on it, and this is all my paperwork. But now I got to go out and prove that I am who I say I am. Even though, you know, if anybody had any common sense, you just look at my driver's license. Yeah, that looks like you.
Yeah, well, there's been people showing up that were supposedly dead and buried, and people went to the funeral, and then they come home.
Yeah.
Like, is that real, or is that, what is that? Is that a zombie? I don't know. Are we in the zombie apocalypse? Is that real? Is that true? Is that... You know, well, you see the movies, the zombie movies. What is that about? Like, how many? There was a big wave of zombie movies. You know, we found out, right, that the way they tell us what is really going on is through Hollywood.
Yeah, well, hopefully some of the things that I've seen through Hollywood don't come true. Like, you know, they had that Pet Cemetery movie where they used to be like an old Indian burial ground, and then somehow or another the ground went sour. And then somebody thought it would be a good idea to bury a pet in there. And then from that point on, the pets would come back alive. And then eventually when this man's kid died, they buried this kid in this thing. And he came back, but he wasn't what he was when he came. He was evil now. And so those kind of movies like that, which there's tons and tons of them, that I wouldn't want to see any of that come to reality.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to see a lot of that.
Well, I don't doubt that either, because it just doesn't... Every single day, without fail, there's always something. Now, you think you were surprised yesterday? Wait till you see tomorrow. I know that sounds nuts, but, you know, we're trying to get a grip on reality, and so if we're told by everybody and his brother and their cousin that our world is a lie, so now what? All right, well, there's starving people in the world. We can fix that. All right, we got the resources to do so. Why aren't we fixing that? There are wars out there, and wars are normally by politicians and corporations, and we can fix that as well. You know, we can actually stop fighting for the corporations and, you know, start fighting for one another and protecting each other. And so we could end that practice of going out there blowing somebody into the Stone Age and then, you know, making these folks wealthy. But every single problem that we put out there on the table that society tells us that we have, there's a solution for it. I mean, if you got any common sense and you're standing around looking and you see the world that's around you, there's certain parts of my land that I live on that are overgrown. I mean, because nature's just constantly putting new stuff up, right, all the time. And if you ain't using it, nature takes it back. Well, I can remember being on lots of drives, and I'll tell you one thing, you probably already know, but Kansas is a huge state. You could drive for, it seems like, days through Kansas, just to get through Kansas. And Missouri ain't no slacker either. Missouri's a pretty large state.
But
that's a lot of land. And there's not houses on every single portion of that land. So we got plenty of room to grow things. And when we have situations such as flood areas that are prone to floods, we could actually, we got technology, we can work around, you know, any potential flood and still grow things in that same area. So there are solutions available. But we're told that there's scarcity out there, so that gives them the authority to jack the prices of the food up. We're told that there's scarcity of oil and fuel and all that, so that gives them the authority to jack the prices of that up. Now, of course, they have this law that basically keeps the companies from, you know, starting a price war, but nonetheless, they still let them bring them up there where they probably should not be. I mean, for example, when you as a kid, what's the cheapest gasoline that you can remember, Barbara?
Oh my gosh. I can't even remember.
Well, I remember at the very least there was 75 cents a gallon gas. I remember that. That's a lot. That's just a lot cheaper than $2 or $3 that you see now. And depending on how far you go from, like from Missouri to Florida or something like that, you know, or California, the prices get way up there for some reason. And it's kind of weird because, you know, there's a lot of ships that bring oil in. There's a lot of refineries between me and them. And so you'd think that the price would be square all the way across the board, but it's not. So they use tricks and manipulation to be able to manipulate what the prices of everything is. They use the planned obsolescence to make sure that things fail so that you have to buy a new light bulb every year or whatever, and so on down the line. It's with all products. And it's even the trap in the tricks of the way that they market all these things to us. You see it and you think you've got to have it. Then when you get it, it doesn't seem as good as what they made it sound like when you bought it. You see what I mean?
Right.
But nonetheless, we still buy it. We still go out to the stores. We still buy from people that maybe not treat their labor very well, or even buy from companies that mistreat people in across the border or something like that, or across the world for that matter.
Right.
So their lie makes them money, you know. And now that we know that this is that everything, we don't trust the government, we don't trust the mainstream media, we don't trust the mainstream science community, and I say we, but it's not everybody. Some people just have what's like blind faith in the system that, you know, hey, you know, you could always trust your government, right? Or a teacher in school for that matter. Never mind that teacher might have a biased view of whatever side that they're, politically leanings or whatever, any ideology they might have. And so you got a vast amount of different opinions and beliefs and decisions that were made on something that was probably a foundation that was a lie from the get-go. And I don't know how to get back to the actual the root of the truth outside of, like you do, going down the rabbit hole, looking at information and trying to discern which is fact and which is fiction. But I tell you one thing for sure, at least from my side of the fence, they ain't making it easy. That's for sure. Why would they want to keep us in that state of, I don't know what you'd want to call it, chaos all the time? What do you think?
Well, I think that there is that plan. You know, I think it's been a system of control all along. I think that we have been told that we are a free country. I think that we have been told that we're sovereign and so on. I think that we've been told a lot of lies to basically deceive us, like that word deception, deceive us, to just settle back in and think everything's okay. Meanwhile, the manipulations and the brainwashing system has been across the board in all of our authoritarian rulers. The system, the authority system, is the education system, it is the political system, it is the financial system, and it is the religion system. So these are all controlled. It's not like I didn't have anything to say, or my people didn't have anything to say about the government that was going to overrule them and that committed genocide upon them here on Turtle Island. The people who over there across the pond, whatever, wherever, you know, they didn't have any say, you know, at either.
No.
You know, so all these things were introduced from a system, from an authoritarian system, from a cabal, if you want to say, or the elite, or those who are, you know, at the high top point of the pyramid, if we want to look about the pyramid there, you know, who's on top of the pyramid and who's in the middle and who's on the underneath. It's the same concept of the monarchy, okay? I feel that we're still under the monarchy. There's still kings, queens, princes, dukes, and so on. We see that every day. And there are the serfs, the slaves and the serfs. You know, this is continuing. Well, why do I say that? Because there are people who are in the club, in the category, who are wealthy, filthy wealthy, I guess you ought to use that, filthy rich, and I guess that term filthy, because why is it called filthy? Because how they get rich is pretty darn filthy, the things that they do, you know, and they're the ones that make the determinations whether we're going to go to war or not. They're the ones that make the rules, the regulations, and the laws. Okay, we think we're voting for people and that we're going to have a say-so. We think that this is the government for the people, by the people. But let's get real. I mean, it's not, and it hasn't been. Well, so we are basically under their rule.
I agree.
You could call them kings or queens, you know, I don't care what you want to call them, but that's still the monarchy and still the slaves and the serfs. That's who we are.
If they can keep up the illusion of freedom. I one time I was driving down the road years ago, and I saw this doggone sticker that said slave from birth to grave. And it really didn't dawn on me back in the day what that was all about. But the more I got to thinking about that through life, it started making sense. You know, what we talked about, the birth certificate. And I actually remember the Social Security cards that you used to carry around. They actually had a little phrase on the bottom, not to be used for identification purposes, because the people were concerned back in the day that they would be trying to track you with this Social Security number. And you look at the modern day Social Security card, it's not on there though. No, that phrase ain't on there no more. Police officers will actually ask you in certain circumstances for your Social Security number if you don't have your driver's license on you, so they can run your criminal record with your Social Security number. Now that was supposed to be illegal. You weren't supposed to be able to do that. But now all these numbers and all these pieces of paper and identifications have to be, you know, in your possession, going to and fro. You even have to have a passport to leave this country. Where's the freedom in something where you have to have a piece of paper that says it's all right for you to go visit another country from your own country, and then even to the extent of getting back, you know. So we're kind of like compartmentalized in our own little versions of a prison that if we got the proper documentation or licensing, we can go visit each other in other nations. And that, to me, you know, started making more sense about that sticker about slave from birth to grave. There's a lot of money involved in your birth certificate, in your doggone driver's license, in any licensing for that matter. Heck, you can't even go fishing anymore without a fishing license, and if you do go fishing without a fishing license, you could face jail time and fines for fishing without a fishing license. Now, what if that was your only means of feeding yourself, was going fishing? You know? You can't do it without having the man, the government, give you a piece of paper that states that you're authorized to go catch fish that nature has already provided. So, in that sense, the world is a lie. You know, you're not free. You definitely not. People think that living in America is such a wonderful thing, but I got news for you. The day you stop working, the day you stop complying with the system, that's the day that you find out you're not as free as you think you are. You can't just go live up under a bridge or pitch a tent out in the field somewhere, because that land is probably claimed to be owned by the government. It could be public land and still the government owns it. You've got to have a permit to camp there. If you ain't got no job, if you ain't got no finances, you can't buy no permit. And so you'll have to take your chances and camp there, what they would like to call illegally. And if you're up underneath a bridge or sleeping beside a building or on a park bench, they'll arrest you for vagrancy. And why would they want to arrest you for vagrancy if you couldn't pay the fine to begin with? You wouldn't be sleeping on the bench if you had money to pay a fine, but now you're going to go to jail. And you're going to have a criminal record. As many times as you're going to have to sleep on that deal, it's going to constantly add up until eventually they might not let you out of jail. But that's not the problem for them, because the majority of all the prisons these days have become for-profit prisons. They're run by private companies that they basically are like a motel that you can't leave. You know, like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. So, if you think that America is free, you haven't looked hard enough. It's not necessarily as free as you think it is. Everything costs money. Electricity costs money. Water costs money. Food costs money. Transportation to or fro a job costs money, unless you're willing to walk it or get lucky to buy you a bicycle, which also costs money. And then there's all kinds of rules and regulations where you can park that bike and where you can't park that bike. Not to mention the fact that somebody might like that bike more than you and steal it from you. You see what
I mean?
Well,
you gotta prove then that it's yours.
Yeah.
So here you can't even walk across the street in the town and the city because there's a jaywalking law. You're gonna get arrested and fined if you don't walk on the lines.
Yeah. And they will take it to the extreme if you don't comply. If you decide, hey, you're not going to hinder my travel, and you give any kind of resistance whatsoever, they will up the force and up the force and up the force, not excluding all the way to death if you don't comply. And that was just for something that started off as you didn't walk straight between these two lines from one side of the road to the next. They was going to, on behalf of your safety, they were going to intervene in your travel and basically fine you, punish you if necessary, until you complied that you're going to go through those two lines to get across that street.
Well,
that crazy?
Well, you know, I think we're beginning to realize that there are boundaries, gates, locks, doorways, licenses, documents, everything that you want to do. You need to pay.
Yep.
You need to pay. You need to pay to get buried. You need to pay to get married. You need to pay to get born. You need to pay to go here. You need to pay to go there.
Oh, not to mention the government puts its hand in your pocket even after death.
Well, because property, if you have property and you don't happen to have a will, you need a license to have a will, you need a lawyer, you need to pay to have a will. Will. Yeah. No free will. There's no free will, but I want to say something about the hunting. Because in our way, in our tradition here, and I know it was the way all in the beginning, you went out on the land anywhere you wanted to go and you hunted for your people.
Yep.
You know, you were respectful in the way of the tradition and you didn't take more than you needed. That was the way, that was important because there was an awareness, a realization, and a conscious awareness of the fact that you have coming generations and you need to make sure whatever you do with them in mind. Okay, so there was no clear cutting of forests. There was no blowing up of mountains. There was no, you know, none of that stuff going on. You didn't take, even if you were a medicine person who used herbs and plants, you never took the whole, you know, growth area. You took a few and you asked permission. If you went out to get an animal, a deer or a buffalo or whatever, you talked to the spirits of that animal. You asked permission. But, you know, now even the Indian people on their reservations, they're not allowed to go hunting in the great expanse of where they live up in Canada, for instance. They need a license to do what they've been doing from the beginning of time.
Yeah, there was actually a court case quite a while back about, they wanted an eagle or a hawk or something like that. I can't remember which one it was. But they had to actually go to court in order to be able to do what they had been doing for tradition for.
Well, that's an
years.
Eagle. Eagle feathers are very sacred to the people, but you can't go out and do what you've done, your generations have done before you, your grandmas and your grandpas, for this sacred medicine. You have to go now to an authority who says, well, get on the list. There's 4,000, the last time I counted, there's about 4,000 full-blood indigenous people waiting on a list to be able to go get an eagle feather. And it's a long, long wait. And if you are caught with an eagle feather, even if you have, by the way, your license to be an Indian, by the way, you know, there's like, if you're a full-blood Indian, you have to go to the government and you have to get a license that proves, it's called, you know, your paper, that proves that you are a full-blood Indian. Now, if you're carrying, and I have no Indian people who this has happened to, they're carrying their sacreds, and they get stopped by a police, whatever, or going through the border, all their sacreds are confiscated, yet they have the proof that they are right to have these things. That does not matter.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Do you think that this is crazy? Do you think that it's crazy that I can't travel, you know, where my ancestors traveled whenever they wanted to? I need a license now and I need to pay. Do you think it's crazy that you can't be born or get married or die without having to pay?
Yeah,
is
piece
that,
of paper.
That's pretty crazy. Huh. You can't get an education? Well, you got to get a big paper that says you are now educated. You pay a lot of money to get educated and then you are in authority. You hang that little white piece of paper in a black frame on your wall, and now you are an authority. It doesn't matter whether you're dumb,
yeah,
or you don't even know what you're talking about. You paid to prove that you are an authority, and then, well, people go to you because you have that piece of paper and you're sitting there. Now, if you're a psychotherapist, whatever, you've been trained by a book. You've been trained by the authorities that gives you the authority to tell that person what's wrong with them and how to deal with their issue, but you may be like a total wackadoodle or a sleaze or a crazy person, but you're sitting there and that poor person's coming to you because you are the authority, because you have proof, because the government gave you that piece of paper because you paid for it, but they don't give a crap whether you're a crazy person or a pedophile. They don't care.
No.
You paid for it. Now you have some person with an issue, with a problem, who's in sorrow or who's guilty or whatever it is they're dealing with, and you sit there, guess what? That person, the authority, goes by a book. It may not have anything to do with an issue that you are dealing with, but they go by the book and they tell you what's wrong with you, and then they write a script for you, which gives you a pill.
Yeah.
And you take that pill. Now, are we living in an insane asylum? What do you think?
I'm starting to think that might very well be the case. It's the biggest prison in the world. You know, for whatever people think about Alex Jones, he did.
I was just going to say.
He called it Prison Planet.
Prison Planet. Prison Planet. Well, it never used to be a prison planet, my friends. It never used to be a prison planet until some persons got touched by or taken by or sold their souls to the devil.
Yep.
And now we are living in a prison planet because they got a lot of information about how to control the population, how to get money, how to get slaves, how to do a blood sacrifice, go to war, you know, whatever, you know, enslave people, bring sorrow over the land.
Well, I did something that I normally don't do because I wanted to test the water. I wanted to see how serious people were about saving the planet. And so the Facebook has a doggone deal where you can actually put a fundraiser together. And I actually put a fundraiser on there. Of course, it's actually did exactly what I thought it was going to do, and it's raised $0, which I don't care because I put the price up there so ridiculous that... I didn't expect anybody to do it anyway. But nonetheless, we're constantly being bombarded with how terrible the world is, that we got to save our planet. We got to become green. We got to get green energy. We got to have, clean, renewable, alternative energy sources. We got to save our planet from the pollution and all this kind of stuff right there. Well, I laid out in pretty much in this thing right here that I believe that together we got every single answer necessary to resolve all this. And what I wanted the money for was to hire people with tools and skills to actually build things to prove what we've been saying all along. But, you know, even though I got a couple likes and a couple shares, nobody ever, you know, donated to the deal, which is fine. I didn't care about it anyway. I just wanted to see how serious the world really was about, fixing the world. We allow our governments to give other entities like the United Nations, which isn't what it all cracks up to be, but nonetheless, they give them... like $50 billion a year or something, maybe even more, hard to say. But that money is supposed to go to fight the so-called climate change / global warming and all that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, when you go turn your light switch on, somebody's getting paid. When you go to the grocery store, somebody's getting paid. No matter what you do here in the United States or anywhere else in the world for that matter, in society, whatever you do, somebody's getting paid. Even if you don't do nothing, somebody's getting paid. You go to jail, somebody's getting paid. And so, with that said, in other countries that are suffering because the corporations are using up their resources or even hiring their people at really, you know, slave labor wages, somebody's getting paid through this whole entire deal. The status quo is perfect the way it is because you'll get a commercial on TV about a starving baby. That touches your heart. So you give money to a company that's supposed to be a not-profit charity that's going to go over there and solve this problem. Why didn't they take that $50 billion instead of trying to fight some sort of scientific fallacy, take that money, go down there and feed them children? You know, why didn't we take all the excesses from all different nations and guide that towards those people that needed those resources? Well, you can't do that. You know, and they'll put people out there who will claim that this world is overpopulated, so it's overpopulated and we got to allow some of these people to die. We got to have some wars to decrease the population. Unless we're in some sort of a fish tank, which some people actually believe we're in this, domed biosphere or whatever. And, you know, the reality is we can only sustain so many people, which still doesn't make any sense at all because we mentioned about driving through Kansas. Seems like it takes you days to get through Kansas. That's a long drive. There's a lot of land out there, a lot of empty land that could be, farmed or whatever. Same thing with Missouri and other states. I'm sure Texas is probably another one of them, you know. But either way, the resources are abundant, and yet we can't seem to figure out how to solve a problem that I've been seeing since I was a child. We can't feed somebody who's hungry over in another country. Heck, you go to the hospital, if you looked at the prices of what it could cost you for something as simple as a Band-Aid here in the United States, it's crazy. And anybody who's been out there, well, they say that they got to make up for the cost for those who can't pay. But I don't think that's the case, because even somebody who can't pay using the same exact type of Band-Aid, somebody's getting charged that extra $5 for whoever uses that Band-Aid. You see what I mean? It's the whole entire system is rigged in the favor of the so-called elite. You know, the notorious they, who we don't know who they are. We actually kind of do know who most of they are, because we know the politicians that we keep putting into power. We know the people that we keep supporting in the mainstream media, and even some in the alternative media. There's alternative media that's just as bad as the mainstream media, but if they're not going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you know, then you're going to base your opinions off or your decisions off of the information presented to you. So we got one heck of a chore ahead of us. Does any of what I'm saying make any sense, or am I just babbling on?
No, you always making sense. Babbling is good sometimes. I'm just having a conversation with the chat. It's really good to see everybody chatting here. We're talking about education. You know, I said I learned a lot from nature. My teacher was nature and creator. I did go to high school, that's about it, but all the time I was there I felt something is wrong here, and I found out later how wrong it was, you know.
Everyone went to the school that you went to, the nature school. I wish that everyone had that type of teacher.
Well, we were supposed to. That's what we were all supposed to do. Nature is our teacher. The animals are our teacher. Our relationship with Creator is our teacher. Not some person. Just like the same thing with religion. You know me, I say no man in a dress should stand between you and your Creator. Nobody can get you to God. You're born through God. That Creator created you. You are one with.
Yep.
You know, you have a spirit embodied within you that is already linked to that source, to that divine source, that joyous source. You know, you were told when you're little that you're a sinner, an original sinner. Well, then you went downhill from there, because you're told that you were dumb. You're told that you were stupid. You were told that you don't know nothing. You were told that you are worthless, that you have no value.
Well,
that's
on
the
one
enslavement.
Hand, on one hand, we're told that we're all created equal, but on the other hand, we have to go to an authority to actually get married. We can't just decide that we're in love.
Well, they didn't lie to us. They told us we were all created equal, equal under their law.
Yeah,
under their law. Not Creator's law. I mean, Creator's law is simple. Don't you think, like, don't kill anybody. You know, don't lust after somebody else's woman. Don't harm children. Don't rape anybody. Don't kill anybody. Don't destroy the earth. Those are kind of simple laws by Creator's law. Be loving. Be kind. Compassion.
Even by man's law, you know, which is based off of Creator's law. Man's law says you're not supposed to kill, but yet there's two separate laws, or three separate laws going on. One for you and I, one that the Creator put down for us, and then there's one for the notorious they. They can tell you that it's all right. You have their permission to go over there and kill these people because these are bad people. You see what I mean? And it's not just that extreme. You don't even have to go to war to take somebody else's life. You can just deny these people over here food and medicine and over there, so that you can punish that particular group's government and get them to comply with what the entirety of most, you know, the UN nations, United Nations out there basically agree that we're all going to live under these type of deals right here. And any country out there that wants to be a country, they have to comply to these specific rules. And so if you don't comply as your nation, you want to live your own nation, have your own journey or whatever, you don't follow those rules, then you get sanctions or whatever put on you, and suddenly now your people are suffering because you refuse to follow those particular sets of rules. So you don't even have to go to war to get killed in this world anymore. Isn't that crazy? I mean, the people over there that are starving, like in Africa, it drives me insane, because Africa is probably one of the largest continents. It's probably one of the most mineral resource-rich nations in the world, and yet the people are living in terrible poverty. And it's not just there. It's other places. Even here in the United States, we have places here in the United States that are impoverished. And all these people out there that want to talk about social justice and everything, they're spending their time fighting the government when they should be spending their time out there helping these people. You know where these people are at. So go take them food. Go help them plant. Teach them how to fish. Teach them how to garden. Show them how to fix things. But they don't want to do it themselves. They want to have the authority do it for them. They want to have the authority pass a law that says that we have to put more money in the pot so that the government can equally distribute that out to private entities that will go over there and resolve that problem for them, instead of actually doing what we do during every natural or man-made disaster. We rush in there as people and help one another out. Why can't you do that for this situation as well? You see what I'm saying? And we're discouraged from doing that. There's places where you can get arrested for feeding the homeless because the restaurants over there are trying to make money, and here you're giving away free food outside. What if their patrons decided, hey, those homeless people are getting free food, let's go over there and eat with the homeless people. You see what I mean?
Well, you know what they're really doing is you're getting arrested for following your heart.
Yeah.
You're getting arrested for being compassionate and kind. You're not allowed to be compassionate and kind. They're going to arrest you. That's how far this has gone. If you have if somebody's on the street and you see the condition they're in and it tugs at your heart and you want to reach out and you want to help them, you're going to be arrested. So don't listen to your heart. Don't be compassionate. Don't be a human being. Don't be loving. You're going to get arrested. That's how far this has gone.
Yeah, it's crazy. And restaurants' justification for not doing things with leftover foods and stuff like that is that the government has put in regulations on them that they have to sell this food before a certain period of time. Otherwise, they have to claim it as a loss and throw it in the garbage. Now, obviously, the companies don't want people going and eating out of the garbage, the food that's still good, because they want to sell the food that they got inside. Otherwise, it'll domino down on them. But nonetheless, and that and the fact that if somebody goes digs in their trash and eats some food and they get food poisoning for some reason, they're afraid of being sued or whatever. So the government in itself has hindered these people from even doing anything kind. Like, there's Meals on Wheels programs everywhere. So do you know that this food is like an hour or two away from, expiration, and you want to do some sort of charitable thing, then you could actually package these meals up, send them out, and take care of people in your local area, and that food never goes to waste. You see what I mean?
Well, there are people doing that, and then suddenly they're identified as breaking the law, and they need to get a license now to get garbage from a dump, or food, not garbage, food from a dump, and recycle it.
Yeah,
you need a paper, a document, a license for everything you do.
Well, Barbara, you know I got a good heart, all right, but when I see those videos, I get angry because I've been seeing them forever. I've been seeing them since I was a child. It makes me mad when they show me a crying baby on TV and he's starving, and I know that the government wastes so doggone much money. Even the average Joes waste so much resources on a daily basis. You know, those folks out there that go out and they buy extra or whatever, and then it ends up going bad, or they don't just buy what they need. They buy extra, and or even whenever people go put food on their plate, they'll pile it up, you know, and then their eyes were bigger than their stomach. Instead of you know, taking that and maybe taking care of some animals or something like that with it, it goes right straight down the garbage. So there's a ridiculous amount of waste that goes on in just about every portion of the world that these folks down there could have benefited from. I know it just frustrates the heck out of me, because there's a better way. Even, you know, on an individual scale, you know, taking being considerate for each other, and, you know, there's a sin out there, I guess they call them gluttony. it'll get you. It'll get somebody else too. But same thing with greed. But we've been down this road for how many years? We've had governments out there. We've had companies out there. They always put something on there, you know, something that nice out there for you to still like them and everything like that. They always, what's the word I'm looking for? They find ways to pacify the population in order for the population to be compliant with things that should not be happening. You shouldn't see somebody getting arrested for feeding somebody else. There should be absolutely no excuse for that whatsoever. And as a law enforcement officer, and saying that you're just doing your job by arresting these people because we have laws against this, because the food might be poisoned, or it might be expired or whatever, for whatever thing you think you can justify that, you can't. You can't justify that. You're just doing your job. You're going out there in the military, and you have to, you know, fight with people that you never even met before, and, you know, you're just doing your job. Everybody's just doing their job. And at the same exact time across this world, there's somebody out there suffering beyond all belief. They ain't got no decent shoes to wear. They ain't got no clothes on their back. They don't have the luxuries that everybody else has. And they're literally wasting away before your very eyes. Well, not necessarily before your very eyes, because out of sight, out of mind works out pretty well until somebody wants to monopolize on it and make some money, and then they'll show you the pictures. Send us your money and we'll fix this. Well, I can't see it. I can't see where it's been fixed. I'm 54 years old. I'm not as old as a lot of people out there in the world, but I have been around long enough to see enough of those commercials to realize that if the problem was that bad back then, that somebody's life was in danger and it hasn't been resolved by now, how many millions, if not billions, of lives have been lost because of greed? Because of companies and social justice warriors and protesters out there that spend their time battling with each other, making themselves a lot of money. Some people even get paid to protest. But if they're not getting any results, then they're probably doing it the wrong way. Instead of going out there, you know, waving your sign and yelling about the government and expecting the government to have a change of heart, why don't you just take that energy that you got and all your friends that you've gathered and go over there and resolve that problem? You don't want to do it for yourself. You want the government to do it for you, and that is why it has failed every single time for all these years. Year after year after year, you're going to see a picture of a starving baby on that TV set. You're going to see a picture of a polluted planet on that TV set. You're going to see a picture of people cutting down trees on that TV set. So while you're standing there with your wooden stick and your paper sign, and you really believe in what it is that you're seeing is as the truth, then you should put that wooden stick and paper sign down and go plant a tree. You should do something to fix this world, instead of complaining and waiting for everyone else in this world to do so for you.
Because, well, instead of invading the Area 51 to find out if there are ETs, to prove that there are ETs, you're going to invade all those millions of people that, you know, going to invade Area 51. Did they do it? I don't know, but it was a big wave that happened. I say if all those
people...
It's
supposed to be in September. It's coming
in September. I said if they all went out and planted a tree, I'd be doing something.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you really want to see aliens out there, You ain't going to see aliens out there by bum-rushing a doggone government facility that for some reason they don't want you in because they might be doing things behind that gate that they don't want you to see.
Do you think they might be? I don't know. Well, just go and sit in the Congress and the Senate when they're all gathered. You'll see a bunch of aliens in there.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Boy, I tell you what, some of the things that they say in there would make you believe that they quite literally are from another world.
They are from another world. It's the parallel world.
Yep. Because everything's upside down.
It's like the veils are thinning. The parallel world. The nightmare and the daymare. I'm just saying.
The thing is, I know, deep down in my soul, I know we have everything needed to resolve every single problem that is claimed that we have in this world. And yet, when you throw something out there to see, there's no takers. There is no takers that want to...
Well, that's because everybody has been brainwashed. People have been brainwashed to believe in the authorities. They voted for these authorities. They believe in them. They bow down to them. They trust them. And boy, I have to say, right now what's happening is a lot of disclosure. A lot of things are being shown that, and a lot of arrests and sealed documents and so on. It's going to blow people's minds. I put out on the Facebook the other day, what are you going to do when the truth really comes out? How are you going to act? What are you going to do? And I think a majority of the people will not believe the truth, even when it's in their face.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think that, and that's a sad thing, but it shows the level of brainwashing this system, these authorities have set in place for generations. That's what we're looking at. Why can't people discern and determine truth from lie? Because they have no concept. They have no connectedness to the energy or the frequency of what truth is, or the energy or frequency of what it feels like when someone's lying. They just believe in the authorities. The authorities have set it up really well. Believe in us. We're the ones that know everything. You know nothing. Just saying.
Well, you're right. I threw a video in the chat room down there to TCT chat room and over in Super Chat, and I'll probably have to raise it up and copy it over to people for people, but it's basically what we're talking about today, all different types of why the world is a lie. We got so many resources available to us. This world is amazing. Nature is amazing. And if we was to ever use it properly, there's no reason why we couldn't solve all these problems. Now, the biggest problem that I found that might be the only one that I haven't figured out a solution for, and that's how to bring people together. That's how to unite people. Because throughout the years, there's been frauds and con artists that have tried to gather people together and talked about these really amazing dreams of how they were going to, you know, build a utopia, and then they either turned around and had them drink Kool-Aid or, you know, just abuse them themselves. So there's a lot of skepticism when it comes down to people wanting to try to help each other out. If it sounds too good to be true, you're told that it definitely is too good to be true. But if you spend as much time researching as we've done, and you spend as much time being around the people like that's all over there, People for People Radio and Chaziz Radio, that have used the internet for research purposes and found tons and tons of information, and you look at all that information on the table, all those tools that we have available to us, and you take that and match it with a little bit of common sense and some brain power, then you see what we see, that it is achievable if we work together. Now, that's the big if we work together. That's the only way any of this stuff ever works, is if we work together. That's why nations have armies, because an army of men can get things done. That's why companies have their own dream team. That's why governments have their own dream team, because they can get things done. They can take your money, go out and hire the best of the best, design things, patent it in the government's name, and the people in charge out there get the benefits. Whereas now you're still paying an electric bill, you're still paying your taxes, you're still paying for fuel cost and medical and all that kind of stuff, and you haven't figured out yet that the way that the government's been doing, think about how much money that a government spends in one day alone. There's insurance companies out there that are ran by private entities, private people. They basically get a whole bunch of people. They come together and they put their money in the pot. And so if anybody gets sick, they take money out of that pot and they fix that. So you're basically paying in to a joint account for everybody who's a member of this particular insurance company. And it's not an insurance company like you would see before. Your rates never go up. They always stay the same. And you always pay in just that little bit, and then the day that you need it, then it's there for you. Well, there are insurance company scams out the eyeball of different types of insurance that make all kinds of money with all kinds of clauses, such as the Act of God clause. A tree falls on your car, it was an act of God, so you ain't getting paid. Right? And it's so ridiculous. They've even got insurance mixed with your credit. So if you've got crummy credit, you pay higher insurance. Where does that make any sense? You might be the best driver in the world, but you've got bad credit. Why do you got bad credit? Because you fell through the cracks of the system, because the system's bombarding you with a bill every time you turn around. Regulations and all that. And they're talking about how we're trying to make everything better for everybody. You got people piling in from other countries that are going to finally figure out what we've been talking about all along. It's not going to work. It just isn't going to work. We have allowed this government to get so far out of hand, so large, so politically correct, and so much red tape and regulations, that all the problems that we see out there, you can lobby your government till the cows come home, but when has the government ever done anything to fix a single thing? I ain't seen it. Have you seen it, Barbara? Is there anything the government's done right so far?
Well, no. I mean, I haven't seen it. Although I've recently seen some things by this government, by this president, and I know that's a big issue, because there's like the jester and the clown in the White House. But the clown, the jester, and what we call the Hayoka, which is also a clown, shows the people their idiocy, shows the people, displays how the people, pushes the people to display themselves.
Yep.
Pushes the people to the max, where they react because they are not centered, because they are not wise, because they are being played and owned. So the court jester or the clown, the Hayoka, acts like a fool. They call it the fool. And the fool riles people up because there's something inside of them that fool is pointing out that makes them go wonkers. That yep. makes them go like crazy people. And that is like, I'm seeing it across the board. And I know that it's a game. And the game is going full force now, where we see people reacting. Like Angel out here. He's screaming at us. Angel is using his caps, which is according, I guess, I don't know, are there rules and regulations of how we communicate with each other when we're writing? It's like people say, stop screaming at me. I see you, I hear you, I'm here for you, I want to have a communication with you, but you're screaming at me, you know, I'm just saying. But I'm laughing, I'm making fun with this Angel, of course. But this is the way people act. People are reacting, they're screaming, they're spitting, they're beyond themselves. They've lost their own center and power, because the clown, the fool, is pushing their buttons. And that is deliberate. That's what the clown does. That's what the jester does. The court jester displays everybody's stupid stuff.
Yep.
Okay, the court jester acts out the people's idiocy. Acts out the people's, you know, foolish ways. Plays it right out in front of your face. And our people, the indigenous people, have the clown or the heyoka who does that. Every system, the court jester, they all do the same, you know, and so it's right in your face, and the whole point of that is to find out how many people are really owned by the system, how many people are really brainwashed by this system, how many people are duped, how many people have been deceived, and their behavior displays exactly how much they are controlled.
Yeah.
And that's this chess game going on. And it's like, let's find out how sick people are. You know, basically the dance with the fool, the dance of the clown displays the idiocy of the people right in their faces, and they react and show how idiotic they are.
Yeah.
That's what.
Well, I think Angeline pointed out something brilliant there. Those people are been basically the only way to get what you want is shout it out, and if nobody's listening to you, you got to yell at the top of your lungs for common sense when it should be common sense all along. They don't want you and I sitting down or doing what we're doing. They don't want a group of people coming together and having common sense discussions out there. These people...
Well, guess what? Steven said something very brilliant, and this is so true. People don't listen when you shout. And he's so right. Whisper, and everyone wants to hear. And that is so true.
Yeah.
So shouting and screaming just turns me off, basically. It's like I back away, because that's an assault of energy.
I don't hear what a person says,
so... I don't think screaming and shouting has any value. It's not really worked.
Do you see how that teeter-totter's manipulated, though, by these people? They did tons and tons of research in how people react to things. They know exactly what button to push.
Psychological warfare.
Yeah.
Scream your head off. Get out in the street and throw rocks.
Yeah.
Spit on people. Then you'll be heard. Heard by who? Who will hear you? No, guess what? You'll get arrested. Yep, you'll get arrested. That's what they want.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, that's the whole thing. They make money when you're in jail. They make money when you're out of jail. They make money when you're born. They make money when you die. They have monopolized the entire portion of society from every single nation. You can't even go across to the border without having to have a passport or somebody's permission to go visit somebody that you love in another country. You got to have a piece of paper just to say either A, you've had all your shots, or you're not a terrorist, or you ain't politically incorrect. If you say the wrong thing, you can actually get on a no-fly list and can't even get on an airplane. And you can't even get on an airplane unless somebody gropes you down. I don't want some other man touching me, you know? So why would I want to go fly on an airplane? So basically, my travel choices are getting slimmer and slimmer by the day. I can even be groped if I'm driving my car and somebody suspects I done something wrong, and they pull me over and they frisk me down to see if I got any weapons or contraband, you know? So the prison guards, which are now the police officers of the world, they believe that they're just doing their job regardless of the oath that they took to serve and protect and uphold the rights of the citizen. They don't understand that whenever they're violating those, that's not freedom. That's not what the soldiers were out there fighting for. And, you know, go back to that as well. You've got veterans all over this world that are suffering unimaginable afflictions because they were put in a situation where they had to go against natural law. They had to go against Creator's law and do things that they felt in their heart was wrong. And now they can't deal with it. They're not built to deal with going outside of that natural law. But the regular law out there, heck, they'll throw you in jail in a heartbeat. Now, the people at the top seem to be, even though they're compliant and the ones that put the order down to go out and break the law, natural law or even man's law, they seem to live happily ever after at the top of the pyramid there because, you know, they're the authority. They are in charge. And the thing is, folks, everything needs a foundation. I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. If government was done like it's supposed to be and it was actually, you know, by the people, for the people, then it would be tolerable. But when you see the things that you see and you being the base of the pyramid, you're the ones at the bottom, you're the ones doing the work, you're the ones paying the taxes, you're the ones that the blood, sweat, and tears and all that, and you're holding up that system above your head as if it's God, and it's not. Those folks up there are not God. They're people just like you. They're in some incidents, whoever's higher than them, the ones lower than them, the senators and congressmen and all them, they're expendable. So if they ain't following the party line, then they can be gotten rid of too. By hook or crook, they don't care how they do it, just as long as they, the compliance from the word at the top all the way to the bottom is complied. You step out of line, you pay the price. No matter what it is, you're going to pay the price. And you don't even have to, leave your house and you're still paying the price. If you're a prisoner in your own house because you're afraid to go out into public because you're afraid you might run into one of these men in a doggone, looks like a stormtrooper suit. They don't look like lawmen anymore. They look like the military. You're afraid to go out into public because you might make a simple mistake that would cost you everything that you got. So you're voluntarily imprisoning yourself in whatever container you can find to hide in because the outside world has gone mad. And the people out there who say that they want to fight against the fascist and they want to fight against the white supremacist and the racist and the homophobes and the xenophobes, they bought into the scandal. They bought into the propaganda. They bought into the lie.
Now, they sure did.
I get it. There are people out there who are really like that. But they're so little of a group of that population of the overall people that we call our brothers and sisters out there. You know? And so they're an insignificant dot in the grand scheme of things, but we allow that little group to be the ones shouting the loudest, and they are the ones that get the attention. I like what Stephen said about whispering. Maybe they ought to go out there and whisper their message, and maybe people will actually get closer so that they can hear what they're saying. But just like that, they know, the governments out there know that when you're shouting at the world, people are going to tune you out. They don't want to hear that.
Well, that's what they want you. They want you to be screaming and acting like a crazy person. They want, and then that shows them that they've won. That shows them, yep, our processing, our brainwashing, our systematic, controlling of these people, we have won. We got them good. That's how they are. Because you lost it.
Yeah.
You lost it. Yeah?
Yeah. That's exactly what happened. That's what I've been trying to get across. You got what they call constitutional free speech zones. You know what those are?
Yeah.
All right, well, you got free speech zones. You can legally go into these particular areas, which is probably blocks away from who you're actually trying to protest for. But as long as you're in that area, you can say whatever you want. It's kind of like a shouting closet, you know.
Well, they have places now where you pull over on the road 5 miles, 5 miles up the road, you can pull over and you can do your thing on your, you know, whatever phone,
huh.
You know. There's signs now.
Yeah.
Wait, don't be impatient. Have patience. Wait, there's a sign that says 5 miles up the road. You can pull over and you can Skype somebody or whatever they're doing. I don't know. What do you call it? When you use your text, you can text. There's texting zones now on the major highways here.
So you can pull over legally and use your text as long as you're not driving.
That's correct.
Oh, man.
And you will get a fine or whatever will happen with three. Let me see. Is it three now? Or I don't know. If you get three charges against you, you lose your license.
Man.
Three charges of texting while driving.
What a mess. It ought to be common sense. You need to keep your focus while you're driving.
Well, somebody just recently fell into a vat of boiling something or other because they were taking a selfie. I don't know. There's like, this is the zombie apocalypse that we are looking at. They were real. There were some states that were preparing for a zombie apocalypse. And, you know, and it is upon us, folks.
Well, so now that we get it, yeah, our world is a lie. Now what are we going to do with it? You know, I kept talking to everybody about protesting. Protesting is probably by far the most worthless act that a person can do. You go out there, you stand out there with your signs, you pick it, you fight with each other, you break, you know, windows and throw trash all over the place, and you basically get law enforcement involved, and they get just there to keep the peace.
They spray you with whatever. Yeah. They throw little rubber bullets at you. They hit you with batons, and yeah, and then you go home all bruised and you feel good.
Yeah.
You sit back down on the couch and watch the fake news, and then you get riled up again because somebody's saying something nasty about your color or somebody whatever. So you go back out in the street again.
Yep,
and you act like an animal. And you, what good are you doing? I mean, you know, what changes are you creating? I mean, so if you're upset about people using the race card, because that's what it is, really, all this the race card people are playing to get people pitted against each other. Okay, if you're white, you're a Nazi. Right off the bat, forget it, okay? If you're black, well, you're this. If you're that brown, whatever it is, they're playing the race card, and they're playing it big right in our Congress and our Senate, right in the political arena. If they're playing the race card and it's bothering you, well, go out and shake somebody's hand who is a different color than you. Go out and make friends. Go out and, you know, build a community of all different types of people. You know, that's what you can do. So go out and get, you know, stop getting enraged, because that's what they want you. They say they have the problem, reaction, and solution. That's it. You're in that mix.
And they even got you out there white shaming yourself and everyone else. You're ashamed of yourself for being white. You're ashamed of yourself for whatever view you got.
Well, you're guilty. You're guilty if you were born this color. You're guilty if you were born that color, you know. You're less than, or you're more than, or you're different than, or... Whoa. I mean, this is what people are falling for. And if you just pay attention to what is going on, it's right in your face.
That's it.
The race card. The pitting against each other card.
That's it. Order out of chaos. That's what I think that phrase come out there for nothing. Order out of chaos. Look it up. There's a history behind it.
Well, we're the only ones that can create that.
Yep.
Either one. We're the one that create the chaos or the order. It's how you react or not. Emotions.
It's
They're pushing
crazy.
Your emotions.
Because the same people out there doing all the protesting, let's say they finally get it in their mind that the best way to go ahead and destroy society and build it back up from the ground up is to go out there and just start blowing things up and doing all these attacks and everything. Government's already ready for you. They're already ready for that. And if you think that they wouldn't come against their own people, you haven't been obviously paying attention. They come against their people all the time, every day, on a smaller scale, but yet, nonetheless, and even behind the scenes, on a larger scale. And if
look at China. I mean, China's back to the days of Mao, however you say his name. I mean, it's like unbelievable what they're doing in China.
Yeah, and people
and South Korea even, and North Korea even.
People become afraid to speak their own truths or speak their own opinions and views, and so there's no freedom in that. And eventually, you know, it's all a never-ending cycle. When people get frustrated of being oppressed, they're going to stand up against their government. So what? You overtake this government right here, the next one in line, is it going to be better than the last one in line? I'm just saying, because you got to have some common sense. If the things out there, you've seen the cycle of violence, you've seen the cycle of hate and protesting, and you're constantly battling with each other, knowing that all along the system's getting paid, And plus, every time you do something that's new to them, they'll put another law on the table that makes it illegal, because that just more money in the pot. I seen a video yesterday where there's a town where if you got two separate curtains, they're not, your curtains don't match, they can fine you for that. If your hedges are higher than 3 feet, they can fine you for that. So just about everybody in the town was at court because everybody in town had fines against them. And the town was making out like a bandit, from traffic fines to just code enforcement, things like that. And this is supposed to be their representative government. This is who's out there representing them. I don't understand why these people didn't...
I think we're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
I do.
I think. That was another one of the possible titles for this show today, was preaching to the choir.
Yeah. I mean, we are preaching to the choir, because the people who are sitting on the couch watching mainstream media sure aren't listening to us.
Yeah. So now we know we're in the minority of the people who actually care. How do we take what we've learned so far and try to fix things? Sometimes I think it's the best way to teach somebody is without them knowing they're being taught, you know? You go out
well,
there.
To me, the best way to teach people is to set an example.
Yeah, that's it.
You have to be, if you want peace, I mean, you have to start with yourself. If you want to end the hatred, you have to start loving people. If you want to, you know, see the what is good, peace and healing and kindness and all that stuff. If you want to see that, it has to start with us. You have to set that example. You are the wave of frequency, either in a negative or a positive. And those frequencies, those energies affect everyone, affect the whole. And this is scientific. I'm not speaking through my hat, but I'm not a scientist. I mean, I've known this. I received this information that we are more powerful than we can ever imagine. It is our words are powerful. Our emotions are powerful. I mean, it just doesn't take a rocket scientist to know this.
Well, and that's why we have to be separated. That's why we constantly have to be strangers to one another. Because if we ever decided to take that amount of power that is within you and within me, and we combine those words together, I mean, you look at how that you and me and Barry and Patty and all the people that's been on the Knights of the Round Table, how these shows... It's almost like we're feeding off each other, and the words are, I don't even know where they're coming from most of the time, but they're brilliant. It's truth. You see what I'm saying? And we're not trying to change anybody's mind or indoctrinate anybody. We're trying to show the world that there is a solution to everything.
Well, the point that I'm trying to make is that you don't need a mass of people to start turning their cheek and being kind. You start that. You are the one. You're the one that throws the pebble in the pond. We all are throwing pebbles in the pond.
Yep.
And when you watch a pebble go into the pond, that the waves emanate out from you, that source, and go on into infinity. That's the power that we have. You know, if you say, well, I tried to be nice and people are just rotten, so don't stop being nice just because people are being rotten. You know, it takes a while for those waves of energy, for those frequencies to hit all the, you know, everything to have an effect.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm just saying, you don't feel hopeless because there aren't a mass of people standing in a good way.
And
you let you be the one.
There's so many different factors that comply, you know, that add into all of what we're talking about that basically keeps you constantly angry. Constantly angry. And it's hard to do the right thing. It's hard to be nice when you're upset at somebody for ridiculousness that they've, you know, perpetrated on you or whatever. So, you know, we got to work cut out for us. This world didn't get in the shape that it is overnight. It's been doing this for a long, long time. But at some point, there's got to be some point when the world's light bulb finally comes on and says, you know what? I've been looking around here recently, and there's a whole lot more that we have access to than what we've been told. there's a whole lot more solutions and ideas. Right now, this thing we call the internet, it's an amazing piece of technology. It's also a dangerous piece of technology. It's dangerous to us, it's dangerous to them, depending on how it's used. It actually could be used as a weapon against us or for us. If we took this information that we have access to, and we took all the knowledge of science and technologies, and we started utilizing everything that would be beneficial towards humanity, we don't have to ask Big Daddy government for anything. We just got to come together and build these things in our communities and show people there's an easy way to make fresh water, all right? So we could solve that whole water issue. There's an easy way to not add to the mess that's out in there in the ocean, and there's an easy way we can actually get out there and clean that mess up and help nature to put itself back where it needs to be so that we can all live comfortably. We don't have to give up our luxuries. We don't have to rely on governments to ensure that we have luxuries. For one, the governments ain't doing nothing more than taking your money and telling you, we got to fix this. Alright, well, now that you got my money, what you going to do with it? Seriously, what kind of free energy device are you going to put on the table for the people? What kind of water filtration system is going to be designed with that money? Or are you just going to divvy up that money between all your buddies out there and everybody's living high on the hog, flying around in corporate jets while telling us that we got to drive around in rickshaws? It's ridiculousness. You know, their track record stinks, folks, and I don't have to say it because you've seen it. You've been under the gun, literally, these people that are supposedly there to represent you. Here in the United States, it makes me frustrated every single time I hear a government official say that we have to protect our democracy. If the government official doesn't even know the type of government that we are actually under, then they're either trying to change it incrementally by constantly beating it into your head that we're a democratic society, which we're not. We're a representative republic here in the United States. Now, overseas, you might be in a democratic society, but if your leaders don't even know what type of government that you run and they're out there spewing that out, how can you trust them to make wise decisions to protect your freedoms? And why would you put that trust in anybody's hand? Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom was eternal vigilance. Maybe if you don't pay attention, then they just sneak something under the table, and before it's all said and done, you ain't got no rights. And I think that's where it's all moving to anyway, to cut everything down so that you as the masses don't have a voice in anything. You are basically back under the king. You know what I mean? It's as simple as that. I don't want to live under a king, one guy that I can't even really trust. What do you think?
Well, we've been living under the king. We've been living under the queen. So, I don't know. I'm just saying. Think we haven't been? I've been saying for years, we're still under the monarchy. We're still under the king and queen's rule of thumb. You know, we're still the serfs. We're still going to war for them. We're still signing the paper that says we have a license to do this, to do that. Our parents are still, you know, putting their babies... little footprint on the document that proves they were born. People are still... I mean, no, it's like we're still going to war.
We're still going to their courts, too. You know, I went to court the other day with my daughter. I wasn't even going to court for myself. Are you still there? Did I lose you?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, I'm here.
Okay. I went to the court the other day with my daughter for a deal that she's trying to work out. You know, it's kind of a custody kind of thing, but either way, went to court with her. But to get through the front door, I had to take my boots off, had to take my belt off, had to empty all my pockets out, had to go through a scanner, and go through the other side. That's a court that's supposedly there for the people. And so I basically had to be violated on the way in. Of course, they don't violate you on the way out. I guess you're good enough once you've already been in the courtroom. But nonetheless, it just shows you what society has become ever since they used 9/11 for an excuse to completely turn the law upside down and the Constitution and the rights of the people, they've used that for an excuse. And they'll use every other tragedy that they can get their hands on for an excuse to grab up even more power. And so, with that said, you know, it's only a matter of time. If you don't know you ever had any rights, what are you going to do? How about two generations from now, on the same path that we're on? They got a chip in their hand. They got, you know, all these different, documents. Well, they don't need documents anymore. They got the chip in their hand. That has to have all their information.
That's right. It's going to eliminate the paper, yeah. You know. At least they won't be cutting the trees for the paper, you know. I don't know.
And who's in charge of that digital file? So if they ever want to say something bad about me, if I ever get out of line and they want to just add a bunch of trash to my file, how am I to stop them?
It's the same thing that's happening in China. So what's happening over there in other countries is going to be happening here.
Yep.
You know, the waves of immigrants that are, it's interesting because I was watching this video that I don't want to get into deeply with because it's a rabbit hole that I was saying I don't really want to be here, but I went there because it's important information. But I found out that Germany, the whole of Germany has been being sprayed with particle chemtrails longer than we have. And there's a reason for that, because we know we are finding out what's the particles basically are affecting your ability to think clearly and have critical thinking, but also it's affecting people's emotions and so on, as we've learned these chemicals, what they're really doing to people and making people sick so that they can't function. Now you have waves of immigrants coming, and so all this spraying was done. This is my theory, okay? I don't know if it's wackadoodle, or what do you think? So I was watching this video of this scientist, who's a brilliant scientist, and it's the one you started watching, was talking about the spraying in Germany, the whole of Germany being sprayed for many years prior to us. And by the way, we have been being sprayed longer than we thought. But anyway, now you have waves of immigrants coming in that are disrupting and basically changing the changing the whole system there, disrupting the system. The culture is changing and shifting. So you have that wave coming in, and everybody's open arms. Let's open the arms, open our arms. You know, these are people who are in trouble. This is what we're being told. You know, it's the same thing here. These are people fleeing from these countries where they're being, you know, whatever. And so open your arms, but there's something behind this. There's something going on behind this. There's an agenda. There's a plan, you know, and it's part of the one world order. And so this is really to make everyone comply to the one world order. One world religion, one world order, which is that one world government, okay? So it's, this is based in the system of the UN, the Plan Agenda 21, Agenda 30. I just found that very fascinating, what was going on. And this involves Morgellons. This involves, all this stuff that people are experiencing, that it's very real. I kind of drifted quickly through the Morgellons, rising of that information of Morgellons a couple of years ago. I didn't get into it. I don't know why, but I guess I was into so many other things. But in this video, it talks about that. This is very real. And these are nanoparticles. There's nanoparticles in the chemtrails, also in the water and in the various other systems that is affecting our health, our well-being, our health, and so our critical thinking, everything about us. So this is what I'm looking at, and I found this very fascinating. This plan, this plan is very dark, but I don't feel hopeless, and I don't feel helpless, and I have to say that. And yes, I've been stunned by looking at certain things, for sure, but I don't feel defeated. I guess it's just, we shouldn't feel defeated. We have to keep ourselves, you know, in a good way, because I do believe in the frequencies of of prayer. I do believe in the frequency of light and love and compassion. I believe that the I believe in miracles, and there are people who are awake, and there are people who are really involved in disassembling these chemical assault upon us. Now, if you doubt these things, you, I'm going to say energetically, you're adding to the dismantling of this truth or this power. If you doubt, okay, for instance, well, then that's where you remain. But not only do you remain in that doubt, okay, but you are affecting the whole of the positive, you see. So we play a big role here. In everything that we do, we are participating, either positively or negatively. So I'm just saying.
Well, I'm posting a definition of the word docile in the chat room. And then I believe this that's part of this agenda that they've got going on that they want us to be. Because I don't think necessarily that they want to kill the population, because a king needs servants. they need the cattle, so to speak. They need they need us. And so if they can keep us sick, that's okay, because they can still make money off of us, but not necessarily kill us, you know, and stretch our lifespan out just a little bit farther, get a little bit more work out of each one of us, and make a lot more money off of each one of us. Because the drug industry, the food industry, and every other industry out there that wants to sell you shiny things, they need you in order to make money. So I'm going to post this in the Skype chat. Do you see anything in this list right here that kind of mimics what we're seeing as far as wanting us to be compliant or whatever?
In the acceptance of control, of instruction, being submissive, yeah, cheap and docile work, but the compliant, obedient, pliant, dutiful, willing, passive, submissive, deferential, faint. Tame, meek, mild, yeah, unassertive, unresisting, yielding, cooperative, yeah, definitely. It's just complacency, it's lethargy, it's the inability to function, to think critically. It's basically a complete, total control of your faculties, you know. I just want to mention this. I talked about the, I guess there's a response here from Ann Jemmins who says, not about one world government. Yes, it is about one world government. And if you don't know that, you haven't done any research. And it's not about the Germanic American that are scared of losing their grip on being the master race about the immigrants coming through. There's something very much bigger than this going on. It's a cultural genocide. It's a cultural genocide all over. It's not just in that country. It's happening in other parts of Europe. So it does have nothing. I just used I just said in the, you know, that little bit of information I gave. you know. So it doesn't matter your thinking on that. You could think that, and I guess you could stay there in that place. This is bigger. It's not just Germany. It's not just the German people. It's all over Europe. So forget your theory there, my dear. I'm just going to say. And this is also an attempting this here in the United States. So this has been a wave that is going on with a deeper, darker agenda behind it, and it is about the one world government. It's been spoken about the one world government, you know, new world, one world government for years here by our presidents and various other people.
Well,
so I just wanted to clarify that it is not just Germany that is dealing with the immigrant problem. It is all.
You cut out there for a second. Angeline said in the chat room, you still there? Yeah, it sounds like you had a little cutout. Angeline said in the chat room, may I say again, America is a fiction of law. It is a construct of... It's a construct of...
A fiction with rules of a lobby presentment of what is a fraud of misrepresentation and nonsense jurisdictions are claims I claim to be a non-copy plead and credit. Just made me up face bomb. I don't know. We're saying that. Yeah. It's not just America. It's the whole bloody thing. It's not just America. Where do you live, Angel? Where do you guys live? We're not just talking about our country.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing we're talking about is a fiction.
That's it.
It's a construct. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, it's not nation discriminative. It's all nations. It's the people.
No, it's not. It's not just. It's yeah. I mean, I'm not discriminating. But we're all people here. We all deserve to have our families, our generations, our history, our culture. Okay, but this is across the board destructive upon this to herd us all into one lump. Okay, it happened to the indigenous people here. When you lose your culture, when the colonizers came here, they took the children away from their people, their grandmas, their grandpas, their aunties, uncles, their families, and they punished them and beat them for speaking their own language, okay? You weren't allowed to speak your own language of your ancestors. You were not allowed to pray in the manner of your people. You were punished. Some of them were murdered and violated. They wanted to make them white. Kill the Indian. Okay? Make them white. Like us. With our laws. Our rules. Our religion. Our regulations. Our beliefs. Now that's not your personal belief. That's the system's belief. The authority's beliefs. It's not the over across the board the white people's beliefs. Because the white people, I'm going to say, in Europe... Some of my relatives, some of my ancestors were already lied to and duped and manipulated and controlled into believing the system. We are all under this system. The system is a lie. I don't care which country you're living in.
Yeah. And that's, there's so much more to it than meets the eye. It's not just that we're all being lied to. It's the way that they are really good at manipulating. They've been doing this for so long. That it's ridiculous. And it's not just... It's a clash of cultures that they're using to quite literally collapse society to the point where they can have order out of chaos. For example, let me go back to 9/11. Prior to 9/11, people probably was tiptoeing through the tulips thinking, yeah, we got problems in the world, ain't so bad. But after 9/11, America changed big time. The world changed big time. Now you had to have all these security things in place. Cameras started popping up everywhere. I mean, prior to 9/11, there might have been a few closed-circuit cameras here and there, but nothing like what you see now. Everything's under scrutiny. There's somebody watching every move that you make from the time that you hit the public streets to the time you go out to the grocery store. And it gets worse than that. It's not just the fact that they can see you on camera when you pull up to the stoplight or when you're in the grocery store, but they can track your credit cards, they can track your Social Security, they can track your finances, they can track everything, all with a few numbers that are attached to you that shouldn't be attached to you. And to the extent that even what we're doing right now can be tracked. What the when we're sending this information out there, it's going through servers. It's being cherry-picked for words. You say the wrong words, you get more listeners, and they're probably not the ones you want listening. But nonetheless, they're welcome too, because we're trying to sort all this out. Anyway, your terms of services on all your software that you've given these companies free reign of your information... everything that you do out here, you got to sign in, you got to log in, you got to have passwords, you got finances going on out here in cyberspace, and they are privy to all that information anytime they want, because after 9/11, you could be deemed a terrorist for just about everything under the sun. And every single thing becomes a thought crime. Pre-crime isn't a thing of the past anymore. If you could potentially produce a crime, they'll ban you from social media deals. They can censor what you say. The big industry that we call big tech out there has the power over what information is shared and what information isn't shared. And those who are fighting against that are deemed to be radicals and so on down the line. So we are fighting something that is so much more powerful than we give it credit for. And it's not something like a single individual or a single man or a single ideology or a single political view. This darkness that's out there, that the whoever's at the top of the pyramid, I would like to know who the wealthiest, most powerful individual in the world is. I would like to know their name, but I'm positive that in my lifetime, I will never know that person. I will never know their family. I will never know any of their connections. I'll hear Rothschilds, I'll hear Morgans, and I'll hear all these different things that in the conspiracy world, these are supposedly the most powerful families in the world. But somewhere above all of that, there's some entity up there that is basically running the show, saying the do's and don'ts. It's like, he who has the gold makes the rules. Who is the richest, most powerful man in this world that we call Earth? Who's that? Or woman. It doesn't matter. Family, who is the one that's actually, you know, wants to crash this entire system and build it back up in their image so that we all don't see color anymore. We all don't see political view. We're all docile. We will comply. We'll do everything that we're told to do. Basically, like the end of that deal said, we're manipulated easily, handled like putty in the hands of the masters, so to speak. I'm saying right now, before that time ever comes, because nobody knows the end of time. Nobody knows when the last day or the last breath you're going to take. Nobody knows that. I'm saying in the meantime, while we still have an opportunity to talk to each other, that we use those powers, those words, and the information out there to ensure that our future generations don't have to go through what we've had to go through. They don't have to go down all these rabbit holes. I still believe in the dream. I still believe we can fix all this stuff. But, you know, we could sit around and point out forever and a day all the people out there that is doing wrong. We can point out all the corruption. We can point out all the people in the top, the rich people that are living high on the hog while they're standing on the necks of the poor. We could do that all day long. Or we could take our true power and we can go out there and ensure that there is no poor anymore. There is no starving. There is no homeless. There is no sickness. Because each and every one of you have the power of that word. You have the power of your actions. You have the power, more power than you can possibly imagine. And if you believe in this that much, and you go out there and you live your life like that, like your intentions are, you're going to do every single thing you can to try to fix the world in your area down there. We do it one positive pebble at a time. That's the concept that I subscribe to. You know, in my personal spiritual journey, God said, what you do unto the least of me, you do unto me. And since I feel like I'm blessed by everything that I've been given, including each and every one of you, even if you don't believe in a higher power, I still feel like you're a blessing in my life, that together we can accomplish so much. We don't have to agree on any political ideology. We don't have to believe on any religion. We don't have to believe on anything. But we do have to believe in each other enough to take advantage of the gift that we've been given, which is the each of us together combined, the pieces of the puzzle that make that big picture. I see that we can go out there and fix things. And I know that somewhere in my neighborhood there's somebody starving, and every time I see them, I'm going to give them some food. I'm going to do whatever I can. Now, my resources by myself, I can't constantly go out and give away everything I got to help everybody and his brother, but if there was a way that I could sell it all right now and know for a fact that everything that I gave up, everything that I sacrificed, was going to be equally distributed amongst every person out there that was in need, to its maximum extent, I'd be willing to do that. You know, I don't need all this stuff. I don't need toys and shiny things. I need our world to be better because I got grandchildren. And they're going to have children one day. And if they have to go through and see the atrocities that we've had to witness in our lifetime, if you go back and you think of all the different wars and so-called police actions or, you know, skirmishes throughout the world, and you think about the complete and utter devastation and the finances behind all that, what that money could have actually done to resolve the problems that we are talking about on a daily basis, that's never going to get done as long as you keep feeding the same beast that's eating you alive. Two Dogs said something about a story that about two different wolves, and the kid was asking the grandpa, you know, which one or whatever, and he said, "It's the one that you feed that's going to survive." Is to put it short, I blew that out of the water, Barbara. You could probably say it better than I did, but nonetheless, it all boils down to if you think that you're helpless, and you think that you ain't got no way that we can fight this big machine that we're up against. Man, you have been listening in. So, you know, all I want to do here is to inspire. I can't do it for you, but I sure as heck can do it with you. And if I can inspire you to inspire somebody else, and we together on this round table, and that's the reason for the round table, because none of us are in charge. None of us are the king. We are all people who recognize, while we're preaching to the choir, that we see things in this world differently than the average Joe. We see the world could be fixed if we choose to do so. And we can't wait around for the rest of the world to make that choice with us. So, if each and every one of you became a conduit for that idea to go out there and write something nice on a pole or say something good to somebody, those positive ripples that we send out there, it's been seen before. There's if you actually step back and look at the big picture, there's ripples in different communities all over this world that is people trying to do exactly what we're trying to do. And somehow or another, maybe someday, God willing, we'll all meet in the middle and we'll realize that we had the power all along to resolve the issues of the world. We don't need the government's permission. We don't need to overthrow anything. All we need to do is to reach down and turn that light that's been inside of each and every one of us and turn that energy up as to its maximum potential and live our lives to the fullest. When we do that and other people see how we're doing what we're doing, they're going to want to join this round table. They're going to want to come together and help each other out. And there will come a day when there ain't nobody starving in this world because there's no need for it. I seriously believe that we have that power. Now, I can believe it all I want by myself. I can preach it till the cows come home, but if you don't believe it either, if you think that there's somebody out there more powerful than you or more special or better than you, then we're already in trouble. Because one of those gears in that machine's not working right. And that one gear is you. That one piece of puzzle that's just not willing to go the distance. I think if we honestly believe in what we're actually talking about, our actions are going to make it so. How you doing, Barry?
Hey, Barry.
Hi. I have not been around for a while.
Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah, well, I was hiding out in the bush, but I've come back to civilization here, and I've been surfing around for a couple days, and the world's gotten a little bit crazier, and I think I'm going back to the bush. At least the bears ain't crazy. But yeah, I had a kind of a mixed season this year. I was gone for a couple months. Season started off really good, getting in shape, and then I blew my knee out, my ACL, and tore a ligament in my leg. So that basically slowed me right down, and then my dog got run over by a crazy guy up in the bush, and that really broke my heart.
Sounds like you've been on the battlefield, brother.
Well, good thing that the whole time out there, Shazuz, is I got to talk to a lot of people. And the first couple weeks I was out there, the young people were listening to me talk, and they called me a conspiracy nut, and you're crazy, and yet you're really out for lunch here, Barry, what are you talking about? But by the end of the season, after lots of conversations around the campfire, I think I was really starting to shed some light to some of them exactly what's going on in this world, and they were actually starting to listen to some of the things I was talking about. So I hope I impacted some of them.
Well, I'm sure you did. It's just the information, you know, after being indoctrinated most of your life, the information is so doggone overwhelming. It sounds big, you know. It sounds conspiratorial, but it's not. You can go back and you can research everything we've been talking about for years out there. It's actually out there. You know, somebody convinced us it's the truth, you know. So that's what we're talking about here today, about our world is a lie. And now that we know that, now what? Now what do we do to resolve this? So, you know, when you're out there talking to those kids out there and you're opening their eyes to actually at least looking at things, that's a start, you know?
So you find a lifetime of indoctrination to sink in a certain direction. And, a lot of these young people, I say to them, like, if you haven't really done a little bit of research yourself, then what I say to you will really sound crazy. But when you start doing a little research, and I reiterate this a lot when I talk to people, I say, look, don't believe me. Just go do a little bit of research yourself. Go look at this, go look at that. Then come back to me and tell me if that makes any sense to you. And that's basically all you can do, because really, when you start talking, like I said, Shazuz, you start talking about some of the rabbit holes that we've all gone down. Unless you've gone down those rabbit holes yourself, you do sound crazy.
Yeah.
So by the end of the season, a lot of them were actually paying attention to a lot of things I was saying. So I hope I had an influence on them.
I believe you did. I'll tell you what, you know, the things, some of the things out there, the way that people react once they start to have that feeling of waking up, go into panic mode, you know, what do we do? What do we do? And I've been trying to tell everybody there's only one thing we can do, and that's come together and start working beside each other to resolve problems. Because track record of the governments and corporations and all the people out there that everybody seems to love to protest, it stinks. And their protests still haven't accomplished anything. There's still people in the world that need food. There's still people in the world that need homes. There's still things going on that we're basically being complacent and not doing anything, you know? The word docile, I put that out there. You go look up the definition, read that definition of it. I actually posted it in this chat if you want to see it yourself. But that word right there is what the majority of the populations of all nations have become, because they've been told everything. And even when they are confronted with the truth, it's so overwhelming that they can't deal with it. For example, if this thing ever comes down about all these different child rings that get busted, and then you find out that a lot of your leaders are going to jail or anything, if that ever comes to pass, and everybody sees that, are they going to be able to cope with that? Are they going to think it's a conspiracy, or are they now that they see that was happening, are they now going to use a watchful eye to protect each other from that point on? That would be the best case scenario, that when you find out there's a problem, you watch out for your neighbors like they used to do back in the old days, you know? And back in the old days, you could walk down the neighborhood of my area, and you didn't have any problems. The neighbors were always peeking out the window to see what you were doing, make sure you was all right. And if anything ever happened, they'd be the first one to rush to your rescue. They'd be the first one to pick you up with a skinned knee and take you home and put a Band-Aid on you and that kind of stuff. Communities used to watch out for each other. And some small communities still do. That's why I keep talking about the Amish communities. You know, they're like a piece of history back there somebody's barn burns down, they come together, they put the barn back up. They don't see if they're financially capable of doing it. They just come together and they make it so. And that's what we got away from somehow because of the way that we've all been divided amongst each other. Heck, you got to lock your door at night. You got to lock your car doors when you go down certain neighborhoods. You can't pick up hitchhikers. You can't give money to the poor. You know, you're going to get ripped off. You're going to get robbed. Everybody's a potential axe murderer and so on. There's a terrorist behind every single bush and the boogeyman's under your bed. That's what we've been told.
We got a couple of young guys running around British Columbia killing people right now. Biggest manhunt in Canada is just being going on right now for these two guys.
What a mess.
And, 18 and 19 years old, and they were involved in a cult in Fort Alberni. And they have murdered three people in northern British Columbia here in the last 10 days. And the RCMP, the Army, we've got a huge manhunt going on in Canada right now for these two young guys that are out there killing people.
Would any of the responsibility for the mindset of what these kids or guys or whatever is out there doing fall on the entertainment industry that glorifies everything from eat your face movies to murder movies and first person shooter and all this kind of stuff? Would any reason why these folks are actually out there acting the way they do, or is it just some sort of straight up evil? You know, I think demons exist. Does that make me sound crazy? Now, you think they're possessed by the devil? That's I'm just asking.
I mean, these children have been adopted, but the point is 6 years old that wrote Moses Jack turned them over. Screw your friend for a nickel is a thing to do in life, and that's how you're accepted. And they want to be accepted. They want to fall into these groups. You have these groups forming now where they go, and it's a bonding between them if they go to murder somebody. Because this is what's indoctrinated into their brain. And then you add all the chemicals that are put into their brain so they can't think. You add everything else that's going on in our society, the food they're eating. The vaccination programs are just right out of hand. And all these toxins that are going into kids' brains. Then you indoctrinate them with a bunch of weird thoughts. And our society is in trouble. And people better start realizing that this is the ground roots of our society. That when this family unit that brought our society to where it is today was destroyed, our society will fall apart. And that's what we're going through right now, so good. Very quickly.
Seven-year-old
drag queens being glamorized on national TV.
Yeah.
I mean, what the heck is going on, folks?
Yeah. That's why I say, you know... Well, you know, the book said that in the last days there'd be wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, and, you know, we're kind of seeing things play out just like that, but I still... Man, I guess I'm the forever optimist. I still believe that if we actually decide that we're, number one, going to get right with our Creator, and number two, we're going to get our act together and stop fighting with each other and get things done, that we could actually resolve this. Now, the likelihood of that, given the current circumstances and the wave of people arguing about everything under the sun, and then some, plus what you mentioned about the things that are put in our water and the vaccinations. You start talking to people about this, and I can understand why their brain just kind of just drops off. They just can't cope with it. So the ones of us who can cope with it, I think, are the dream team. I think the ones that are in this chat room right now, the choir, so to speak, are the ones that can send out the biggest wave and hopefully get other people to understand that we aren't hopeless, we're not helpless, we're not weak. What do you think?
You know, when people really start to realize the reality of the world they live in, it terrifies them.
Oh, yeah.
And most people do not want to accept the reality that is reality. And of course, you know, the way our bodies are acting now, our depletion, our immune system, the fact that everybody in our society seems to be sick, that diseases are ramping up, that childhood dancer now is that level that we've never seen before in our reported time. All these things are happening around us, and people yet still think that everything's okay, that they refuse to step out of my life. And I see that in people. They just don't want to deal with what really is going on out there because they're just not able to deal with it. Period. It's just absolutely terrifying. So they step away and pretend it's not going on. And I see that in a lot of people. I also see people now with one of the services is that there's only time. But the brains just aren't working properly. They just can't seem to function and comprehend information. That it just kind of, it goes in one ear and goes out the other. And I want to be optimistic. She says, I do. I want to be optimistic, but in the same notebook, I have to look at what's going on and where we're going right now. And if we don't turn it around, then we are going to see things happen in this world that are going to shock you. And
I agree.
Like I thought before, you know, out there have some control. And it's so easy right now for the power to be to implement their off and decide whether absolutely not people off their feet that they just would not even fight. And all it'll slip the slip to you
Your microphone, Barry, can you come closer to your microphone somehow? It's like garbled.
I don't think it's actually broken, so I'm talking through my computer today, so the sound is like, you know, today.
I can't hear a word you're saying.
Yeah, it's going in and out. So, yeah, but I agree with you, Barry. That's, it's overwhelming. And, you know, trying to get through to people that the world that's, that they think they live in isn't the same. You know, it's kind of like, I keep going back to that Matrix. That guy at the Matrix said that the people in the system will fight to the death to preserve that same exact system because that's all they know.
Exactly. Am I sounding good, eh?
Try it again.
My son come up over there and turned up my layer suit.
Yeah, you're a little better now.
Well, I would have said my headphones are busted, so I'm going up today and they never set them. I was on top of my computer today. Welcome back to civilization, Barry. But he's gotten crazier.
So what do you think, Barbara?
I can't understand what Barry's saying, so I don't know what you were talking about. I'm having a whole other conversation here on the chat, so I don't know. I don't feel that we're helpless and that anything is hopeless, because if I thought that, I'd be off the cliff already years ago. So, you know, there are things in this world that we don't really understand. There are things in this world that we have no clue about. But there are many, I guess I'm going to say that there are others who do know certain things. Not everything. Just saying. Yeah, so I suppose that what we're talking about today is that, you know, everything that we've been told is untrue. And well, why has that happened? You'd have to ask that. If everything that we've been told is a lie, you'd have to say, well, why? Why is that? Why has that happened? What's the reason? What's the purpose? If nothing has changed in our government or your government, wherever you are, and all governments basically are run by the same elite group, the same authorities who have only their own interests at heart, and they appear like they have your interest at heart, but they really don't. So we're really under all the same manipulation, the same controlling factions, and the same lies. What has changed in your home, territory, in your country, that you can really point to, really good, powerful, amazing changes for the good of all? Or is it just the continuation of separatists and anger and frustration and, you know, and protests and loss of freedoms, loss of rights, control over your whole life? You know, what is really going on? I mean, you can be blind, you can wear rose-colored glasses, if you choose, for sure.
Yep.
You know?
We're going to go very slow and interview and decide if the guy who doesn't recognize it is going to be terrific and all of that.
Man, this connection is like really cool.
I have no idea what you just said. So sorry, but...
Let me try to reset this call. Let me call you guys back. Stay right there. Let me try to call you back and see if that clears something up. Alright? Okay, so that's not working. Alright, let me kill that there for a second until somebody gets on there. But, yeah, there's an overwhelming bunch of information about things going on out there in this world, but I still honestly believe that we can resolve it. And so, you know, with that said, I'm going to make an attempt to get a hold of these two again. And so in the meantime, I think I'll just throw on a quick tune there for a second. And be right back with you. So I'm gonna play this if I can find it. Sorry, that's terrible for radio. Alright, I'm gonna throw this song on called Deep Purple Perfect Stranger, by Deep Purple Perfect Stranger, because I think that's what they want us to be, so that we don't know one another. So anyway, stay tuned, you're listening to Knights of the Round Table. I'm trying to get this Skype issue resolved.
Can you remember?
Hello, everybody. We're back. So we're having a little bit of a conversation there, Barbara, about you know, belief systems and stuff like that. I'm willing to throw it on the table. You know, there's people in this world that you know, they have specific. Some of them would like to call them religious beliefs. I don't like to call it religious beliefs because I'm not religious. Even though I call myself a Christian, that's not what it's all about to me. It's about some words that were spoken. And either the words were truth that resonated with me, or they're not truth. And so I'm a forever optimist because I believe that our Creator is powerful. I believe that our Creator made us in our Creator's image. And so that these things that we were told that we could do, that we really can do. You know, the power of the spoken word thing that we talk about all the time. Sometimes you talk about frequency, which is pretty much the same thing, because sound comes out in frequency ranges. And it's, you could take the same exact words, say them two different ways, one of them with a really hateful tone and one of them with a real loving tone, and they have completely different meanings behind them. And they really affect the person that you're telling them to. And so if we're out there constantly telling people, oh, we're doomed, we're messed up, there ain't no way we can fix it, then people will begin to literally believe that. It will create that reality right around them. We're all in trouble. We're all going to die. Well, because of some words that were said that made me want to be calling myself a Christian, was that Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, that you could move mountains. If you speak to that mountain, and that mountain would surely move. And I believe that. I honestly believe that. But to put it into practice means that I actually have to have that much faith. I mean, solid, real, truthful faith. Now, if I go talk to a mountain right now because of my indoctrination of society, not to what Jesus told me, I'm not going to be able to move that mountain. As long as I have any doubts whatsoever that I have any kind of power to do so, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that. And so when it comes down to prophecy being written in stone, I also listen to those words, you know, that Jesus said that, you know, unless these days be shortened or whatever, that these things would come to pass, that all these things that we're talking about, wars, rumors, wars, plagues, famines, and pestilence, was a warning to us. But I think that we also have the potential that if we choose to do so, and we can get right with our Creator, and we can get right with one another, that we can resolve all these things before they ever come to pass. Why would there be any wars if we came together? You see what I'm saying? It is possible. Whether it's probable in today's day and age, that's to be found out, but it nonetheless, even scientifically, it is still possible for us to fix things that are broken in our world. But if we don't even believe that it is possible, how can we even begin to try to tell the world that there's a way that we can fix this? You see what I'm saying?
Well, some people believe that we're come from monkeys, so, you know, there you go. But that doesn't mean that the words of our elders are to be ignored. And also now science is saying, you know, talking about the waves and the sound waves and the energy waves and creating your own realities and so on and so forth, the power that we have. You know, I mean, these are scientific things. But, you know, I have said I don't feel that prophecy is written in stone, because I think prophecy is warning to either, this is a possibility, okay, this prophecy, although perhaps there are some prophecies that need to be fulfilled, you know, but that's not for me to judge. It's not for me to say we're all doomed. That's up to Creator. That's up to the Great Spirit, or that's up to, you know, the populations. I guess you want to say, how complicit are we? Are we going to believe in that we are doomed, or are you going to step out of that belief and create your own reality? I mean, this is, I think, what we have to look at. You know, you can feel defeated and you can feel that nothing's going to work. And are those real? Is that real? Or are those programs? Is that part of the the programmed belief system that they want us to say we're all doomed and it's hopeless and we're helpless. Is that real? Is that factual? How do you find that out? Because, you know, we have to know and understand that there is a system of psychological warfare. There is a system of brainwashing, starting with the education and religious systems and so on, and the societal various systems that are set up by society. Who's running society? The authorities. Well, who are those authorities? These are people with money. This is the club. This is the elite, the cabal. These are people who move into that arena, and once you get into that arena, you could be, you know, a good person and have good intentions, but once you enter into that club, okay, the door is closed behind you, and you're basically told, okay, you're here in our arena, we own you now, and this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the way, this is apparently what has been going on. That's why we say, you know, there are no freedoms, only the freedom that we choose. You can have your own free will, your own free mind. You can be a free person and have inner peace, you know, and the point is that you have to find that. There is no persons, others, that are going to give you that sense of freedom and inner peace within you.
Yep.
Individually, we must come to that and find that within ourselves. No matter what, it is up to us to create our reality, because we are. If you are glommed on to others' beliefs and what they say and where they're pulling you or pushing you, well, you know, then you've given yourself your rights and your freedoms and your free will over to another human being, which no person has that right. No person.
Nope.
No other person.
And I believe all the oppressors of the past are ancestors to the oppressors of the present as well. Because these people have been, you know, learning for, if not thousands or more years, how to manipulate the masses. And for some reason or another, we keep on falling for the same old joke, you know, to honestly believe that we're, you know, sovereign and free when we can't even speak freely with our own peers without criticism of what we're talking about. You're a tinfoil hat wearing nut because you think that there's people out there that are trying to conspire against you to do terrible things. Well, if nobody's out there conspiring to do terrible things, then why is there constantly some weapon of war being aimed at someone else and producing a massive amount of destruction? Why is there people in this world starving to death and pirates that are allowed to run amok to steal what would have been, food or resources being sent to these people? So even when people are trying to do something good, there's always another force out there trying to counteract that good to ensure that those people never get that food. So I'm thinking, you got this massive army. You got an unlimited bank account, essentially, because they can create their own money at the drop of a hat. And so with all the power that you got, if you was in the leadership and really representing the people, if you wanted to, you could order that army, who would probably gladly go and hand deliver that food in full force if necessary, take their army and step right through any pirates that might be trying to hinder you from feeding the hungry. You could make it happen. You could make it so. You had the power. You had the voice. You had the platform. You could tell all the people, look, people of America, people of the world, there are people over here in this area of our world that are starving to death. Every time somebody tries to send them food, the pirates come out there. Look, we're going to take all full forces of our military, and we are going to hand deliver this food to these people to ensure that they get the food and medicine and clothing and housing that they deserve as humans. Now, you tell me how many people wouldn't be on board with that. You see what I'm saying? But instead, we can amass armies to go over there and fight people under all kinds of pretenses of terrorism or a war on drugs and war on everything under the sun. But yet our governments can't resolve, they can't come together to resolve something like that. You tell me any pirate group out there that could withstand the full force of the United States military walking in there to hand some little kid a sandwich. It ain't going to happen. And so if we wanted it done, if we the people wanted it done, it would get done. If we the people wanted that child to be fed, it would be done. Period. There wouldn't be nothing that could stand in our way. That's what I'm saying. And so, with that said, all the atrocities that you hear about, all the wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines, the only people in this world that have the power to initiate a plan to stop it, to actually fulfill the solution, to actually get out there and make it better, is us. If these governments and corporations and companies out there wanted to solve the sicknesses and the starvation, then they would have done it. It's not profitable. It doesn't keep the king in power for the peasants to run around and feed the hungry. Otherwise, it would be done. Now, that's the way I look at it. You know, I call myself old King Shaziz the Terrible. If I were really were king, if I really did have power and I could command the armies to go, I would have them over there fixing up people's houses that were tore down during war. I'd have them over there feeding the sick and the hungry. I'd have them doing something positive instead of what we see going on out there. People come back from terrible situations where they're forced to go against their natural law and do atrocities, and then they can't even cope with their own mind anymore. They're tormented by their own soul because they know what they done wasn't right, and they did it under the guise of protecting freedom and peace and hope for everybody else. They did it for honorable intentions. I used to say I got into being a police officer for honorable intentions. I got out for the same exact honorable intentions because the system was broken. And one man by himself can't fix that system. The one man can speak out against that system and maybe inspire others to do the right thing. But as far as me going in there, like you mentioned earlier about the congressmen and the senators, when they get into that corrupt cesspool that's supposed to be the Congress and the Senate, they are bribed, they're threatened, they're blackmailed, they're done. You get in there and you're now following the elitist rules, or otherwise you don't say nothing. That's why I'm amazed. I'm sort of amazed, but not, but that some of these freshman congresswomen up there are being able to say things that they're saying. But since it's on the side of the fence that constantly keeps people pitted against each other and the government, well, then that's a good thing. You see what I'm saying? That's a manipulation factor. So the folks in charge ain't going to make them shut up. It'd be me when I come up here as a senator and I say, well, there is a such thing as free energy. There is cures for cancer. There's cures and solutions for every problem we got. Now, we need to work together and get it done. Do you think that they're going to allow me a platform to speak? They're going to call me a tinfoil hat wearer nutcase is what they're going to do, and they'll run me out of town on a rail. That's the way the system is. Look at every person. Do you remember when Ron Paul was running for president? What did you think of Ron Paul?
Well, I thought he was surely not going to make it, that's for sure.
Well, no, because he said things that he's talking about ending the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, just like Trump is. He spoke the truth of things, you know. So, no, he wasn't going to make it.
But
so I just want to say that I want to ask the people out there, you know, listening. So wherever you live, whatever country or part of the world you live in, okay, so Liz and I live here in the United States on Turtle Island, I call it. We're talking about a lot of stuff here in the United States, the government and the messes up and stuff like that. But we're also talking about the rest of the world. If you can honestly say that the country you live in is free of people living homeless, or no homes, people living, without, in good homes and taken care of, if you can honestly say that there is no, you know, no crime, no corruption in your government, that there are no starving children there, that there are no, you know, no evil stuff going on there in the government or people's or reactions or whatever, if you can honestly say that you live in a country like that, that has no negative things, you know, no stuff on the news that is like worrisome or concerning, you know, let me know the country that you're living in, that your government listens to the people, is for the people, by the people, for the people, and so on. You know, because what we're talking about here is across the world, really. And if you have a different experience, if you can honestly say, okay, that there was no violence, no rage, no anger, no starving people, no homeless people, no people dying of whatevers, yeah, let us know. I'd just like to know. But so as far as people believe in, maybe they're from monkeys, you know, well, I don't know where they're going to go. Still and all, I say, if you are from the monkey, if your relatives or ancestors were monkeys, check out, I just want to say, check out the Elders of Zion protocols. They do talk about Darwin's theory, how Darwin's theory really worked for them, got everybody believing that they're from a bunch of monkeys. So what was that about, you know? Well, so then, I don't know, you don't have to believe in a god, a creator, or a great spirit, whatever. Where we are right now is what we have to think about. We have to think about what is going on. Nothing has changed that I see in the world over the, I guess I'm going to say 70-some years that I've been on this planet observing, you know, very much for the better as far as coming from the government. You know, incrementally we have been losing freedoms and our rights and so on and so forth. And the laws and rules and regulations are getting tighter and tighter and more stricter. So I see that. I don't know where you live. You know, if you're living on some island out there, that's pretty cool. Good for you. I'm just saying.
Well, let us know where that island's at so we can migrate there. And the biggest question are we going to be welcome on your island, or do we bring ideas that you don't like?
Well, you got to go through the immigration laws. Then you got to go through the gateway and do it lawfully. Otherwise, you know, I mean, you have to have a checkup. See if you've done anything in another country. You know, see if you're an M13 from the group or a pedophile or whatever. You know, because that's happening. I'm just saying. So where are we going from here? It's sort of like all this information, you know, if you're sitting there nicely on your little stool in the kitchen having coffee or tea or whatever, and you say, well, they've got a problem over there in the United States. Wow, boy, they're in trouble. Well, guess what? It's not just here, and that's what I just want to emphasize, because this cabal and this whole plan and so on and so forth, these people who are in control, the authorities, are everywhere. It's not just here in this country. It's everywhere. So I guess I'm going to say, you know, get real here. Take off your rose-colored glasses, because things are real, happening, and it's something we have to pay attention to. You could sit on your couch, be a couch potato, wear those rose-colored glasses. It's like in a dysfunctional family. Everybody acts like, oh, it's okay. It's like what we call in the 12-step programs, we call it, well, there's a dead elephant in the room and it's really stinking, but nobody's talking about it. They're just stepping over it and sidestepping it. Oh, everything's fine. Oh, everything's just fine. Oh, yeah, we have a wonderful family here, a wonderful life. Yep, and all so and so forth. You know, but there's alcoholism and there's abuses going on, but everybody's wearing rose-colored glasses. Well, nobody wants to see the truth.
It took a child in the story about the emperor having no clothes to speak the truth. Nobody else would step forward and say the emperor was naked, but that kid said, the emperor's naked. So, you know, we're saying right now, the emperor's naked. Quite literally. Our world is a lie. Now what? All right. Now we got to figure out what we've been talking about all along. How do we bring one another together? I mean, it's wonderful that we get together and we get to share time with People for People Radio and all their wonderful people over in the chat room. We have lots of good conversations. There's some really loving people over there, wonderful, good-hearted people. We got people over in the Shaziz Radio chat room, you know. Buzzy's in there throwing some more poems and stuff out there, you know, for everybody to share. We got us, and, you know, we don't want to sit around preaching to the choir forever and a day. I mean, nobody wants to hear the same old thing over and over again. And we've been told all we ever do is talk. You know, and, you know, I kind of get offended by that because I don't think that all we do is talk, because in my community, if you could actually come spend some time with me, you'd find out that my family has made a habit of taking just total strangers in to help them get back on their feet. So we've had a lot of people live with us. We've had a lot of people bring us food, as we brought a lot of other people's food, and we went out into the community and helped the elderly that couldn't help themselves. We've done all kinds of different volunteer work and things like that. So in my personal life, I'm proactive. I actually do things. I got a YouTube channel for Mad Science, and I got over 280 some odd videos on there. On this website here, there's so many podcasts. I had to open up another website to put another one on there. And all of them were me gathering together with all you wonderful folks and us sharing information that was then in turn compiled by Stephen Gibbons in the chat room for Alternative Energy, and compiled by myself and others for the podcast available on People for People's YouTube channel and People for People radio website and on Shaziz Radio website. So we've gathered all this information into a place where you could come and share this with people. Now, the only way this works is if we bring more of our friends here. Say, hey, come check this out, you know. Take some time and listen in on this podcast or something like that, you know. And then we take these ideas, and we don't just talk about these ideas. We put these ideas in action. We build a dream team in each one of our communities, and we lead by example. We show people that there is a different way. That's what my hopes was for this platform. That, you know, we do have to talk about some tough subjects. Some of which will make you laugh, some of which will make you cry, some of which will make you angry. And if you go down the rabbit hole like Patty and Barbara and myself and Ben and even Barry, you know, you come out the other side, you're not totally unscathed. You still have your scars from those things that you had to see. And if you want to ensure that other people don't have to experience that, you got to bring it to light. Sometimes it stinks to bring information that, you know, you know is going to be rejected right out of the gate. It's going to be rejected because the indoctrination of the school system, the education, whatever, governments, media, all that has basically told you that if anybody talks the way that we do, that we are radicals. We're not radical. I mean, we love people radically. I mean, we're talking about the ultimate. We love you, no matter what. Even if you're a jerk. But, you know.
That makes us love you more.
Yeah.
But I wanted to hear something that Gregory put up. I just popped one of his little sayings in the chat, but here's another one, maybe up to close with. It's not just you. Shine your light for others. Some don't always see the path. Be the comic for all those who really need a laugh. Lend a hand to old folks whose bodies don't listen no more. For those alone in life's big sea, be the hug pushing them to shore. Be the biggest shoulder for them when their tears fall like the rain. Give gentle soothing words of care to ease their suffering and pain. Forgive all those that meant no harm. We can all make sad mistakes. To change this world, just share the love. That's really all it takes. Yeah, thank you. That's really beautiful. And I just want to say, as we're closing here, because I got to log off, it's been a really great show. I love being here with you, Shaz, and all the people out here on People for People, and all those listening in the world, wherever you are. I just want to give you thanks and gratitude for being here at this time. And every one of you, I feel, and I do believe this is significant. We are all in this together. We're all living here on this mother. She is our home. We all drink the same water. Bring breathe the same air. We all really want peace. And let that peace begin with you. And I just want to say, Pilamaya Dokshan.
Thank you very much, Barbara. Till next time. Love you to pieces, lady. Look, folks, if you're listening in right now, you are the dream team. You're that miracle you've been waiting for. If you're expecting to see something amazing pop up before your very eyes, it's as simple as walking over to the mirror and taking a good long look at the amazing creation that you really are. You know, in my book of faith, it talks about we were created in His image. We were created in our Creator's image. That makes us creators, and we got some things that we could do. We got some responsibilities to help each other out. You're just one piece of the puzzle. I'm a piece of the puzzle, but together, when we find that unity that we should have been using all along, we can make the big picture. And I don't believe anything's hopeless until you're willing to lay down and give up to evil. Then the fight isn't over. And I think that these people out here that are the dream team, that is every single one of you that's putting comments in there, having brilliant discussions back and forth, and sharing your words of wisdom and your poems like Buzz, and the people that behind the scenes that do the work that you do, you're all appreciated. You're all our brothers and sisters. You're our family. And there's a whole lot more meaning to family than most people realize. I honestly believe that if we ever decide to do what we are capable of doing, that these talks that we've had right now will become a historical reference of the way that the world used to be. There won't be no starvation, there won't be no sickness, there won't be tears in a baby's eye that does no longer have a mother or is on its way to the next world. I honestly believe that if you believe hard enough, that everything is achievable. So that's why I keep saying the things that I do, in order to hopes to inspire more hope, that you go out and you inspire, because the words coming out of your mouth make a difference. The simple smile off your face can make a difference. I love each and every one of you. Thanks for tolerating my shenanigans and the duct tape and bailing wire. Shaziz Radio, People for People Radio, you are the dream team. Peace and love. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Take care.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise that are quite unsignable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot. Table.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.